because we are going to talk about something very important tonight. How many know what every church talks about at the beginning of the year? It's so vital. But I really felt, and it wasn't just because it's the thing to do, but I really felt like I needed to talk about it tonight because I know, is it a week from tonight, or I think it's next Wednesday, we're going to have a vision. Is it 2 weeks? 2 weeks Wednesday. We're going to start service at 6:30, so make note, February 4th, I think it is. We're going to have a vision night. It's going to be with all of our department heads, and they're going to cast vision on what we're wanting to do, where we're wanting to go, moving forward, some of the things that we're looking forward to, and each one will give some ideas and thoughts and share their heart about vision for our departments and our church. And what we love is that, we love to cast vision to our people, but we also love for our people to have vision. We don't want you to come in and just do everything that we say. We want you to come in and have some ideas. And, you know, that's partly why we do the strengths finders, is to find out where everybody's strengths are so we can work together and equip one another and encourage one another, of course, with pastor's lead. But each one of you have a supply to bring. Amen? And there's something that's important and invaluable that, you know, it's valuable to this body, and everyone needs to be able to stir that up on the inside. If you never think about it, you never talk about it, you're not gonna cast any vision, even for your own life. And I know we did this 1 year, and I think we talked about doing this again, maybe in this next couple weeks. Is I made up a paper where we had corporate vision and then personal vision. Spirit, soul, body, you know, what do you want to change in this next year? Because the word talks about it, where there's no vision, the people perish. And vision is important, that you just not only see it, but you write it down and you remind yourself and you look at it. So I was reminded, mostly because Kat wrote it on Facebook, about our vision boards that we did, ladies, 3 years ago. Do y'all remember that, those that were here? And I love Terry Savelle. She does a lot of vision casting, and I think it's really important to do. So we did that with our ladies. We all got together and wrote some things down. And I was looking at my vision board the other night, and I've done almost everything on that vision board that I had set to do. There's a few things I'm still tweaking and still working on. But if we don't set vision in front of us, we don't have a goal. We don't ever attain. We just kind of go through life doing the same old, right? So that's what I want to talk about tonight, is vision, V-I-S-I-O-N, seeing God's way forward. We don't want to stay stagnant, right? Waters that stay stagnant get yuck, right? They create mold. They create things that grow in them that are unnecessary. There needs to be movement. So Proverbs 29:18, this is the ever famous scripture for this, but where there is no vision, the people perish. But I like it in the Passion Translation. It says this: when there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. Let me just stop there and say this. You have the ability on the inside of you to prophesy over your future. Do you believe that? We don't need to wait on, the word talks about honoring prophets, and we do that. We appreciate hearing words. I don't listen to everybody that proclaims to be a prophet, because there's a lot of crazies out there, but the ones that we know that have proven themselves, we stay close to those. But it says here, where there's no clear prophetic vision, and I believe we can prophesy over our own future, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, wow, the revelation of the word, what is that? There's truth, there's revelation. It's not just information, but it's a revelation of the word. Heaven's bliss fills your soul. Well, what does that mean? Heaven's bliss fills my soul. Well, how many have ever had a goal and you attained it, and it just, probably you with your job, and it just made you feel like heaven's bliss, right? You felt like you had just, it was like, thank the Lord. But here's my point with this: is vision is not just imagination, and it's not just ambition. And I want to divide this a little bit and talk about this a little bit, because ambition is just a strong desire to do or be something typically, and it requires a lot of hard work, right? That's ambition. Ambition is the how, but vision is the why. So ambition is the engine, but vision is the destination. So I can have all ambition I want, but if I don't know where I'm going, you know, I better know what my destination is. When I get in my car and I'm going to a new place, when I'm traveling on the road, you know, with some of the singing that I'm doing, I'm going to new places. I land in a new airport. I have no clue where I'm at. I don't know people. I get into a car. I don't know. I put in a destination of where I'm going. I have lots of ambition while I'm there. I have lots of imagination about where I'm going. But if I don't put something in my GPS for a destination, I'm just going to wander around and aimlessly and not find my place. So you can see why vision is important, because it helps us find the why, the destination. Biblical vision is God's revealed direction that governs decisions. It sustains endurance and it demands obedience. Let me say that again. Biblical vision is God revealed direction. This doesn't come, now I'm going to be careful when I say this, doesn't come just from self. Because we can come up with some ideas, and I'll prove this with scripture, that aren't him. But, right, there's some ideas that might come up that may not be him. So it's not, vision doesn't come from self. Vision comes from him on the inside of me, giving me direction. So ambition is relying on yourself, but vision is relying on God and his impartation of what he's placed in your heart. So I'm going to take the word vision, and we're just going to break it down, V-I-S-I-O-N, simple stuff, so you can remember it, and I'm going to give you something specific for each letter. So vision is obviously the word vision, and it comes from God, not self. Moses offered excuses at the threshold of his assignment, but God responded with command, not assurance. Remember what he said when God told him what he was going to do? He said, Lord, I can't talk. I stutter. He had an excuse. He had a reason. He looked to himself. He thought, I can't do this. Any thought that comes to you that is so small that you think you can do it on your own may not be directly from him. Because usually vision that comes to you from him is something you cannot do in and of yourself. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. I can come up with all kinds of ambitious ideas. My imagination can take off and think, oh, I can do this, I can do that. But that's the point. I can do that. But when it comes to me, like building a church right now, it's so big. I is taken out of it. And it's just, it's all God. God, God, God. God's going to do it. You see what I mean? There is no way that vision can be from me. It comes from him directly. Now, I'm not saying some ideas that come to you aren't good ideas. What I'm saying is the destination and the vision for your life needs to be so great and so grand and so big that it's this is the plan for your life. You're running your race for this. This is the goal. This is the goal. And I'm going to do everything I can to attain that goal. I'm going to get to that place, and it's going to require God himself working in and through me. It's going to require supernatural things. It's going to be God super on my natural making it happen. You know, I spoke a couple weeks ago. I did some meetings with some, I hate to say old RSMB. If you're watching, I'm so sorry to call you old. Former RSMB, Rhema Singers and Band people. And some of us have gotten together just to kind of keep that flow, that spirit, you know, the Dad Hagen flow in some of these smaller churches. We were at a church where it probably wasn't, you know, much bigger than ours. And we were there for 4 nights, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in the mornings and nights. And our goal, our budget was $20,000, because there was 6 of us. And, you know, covering our transportation. It wasn't like we were trying to make some big amount. We were just trying to cover our costs. And then, you know, pay for our time a little bit, you know, because some people took off work to go. So, we had a meeting the other night on Zoom, and she told us what came in was $5,000 over our budget. Now, I'm just telling you, that was a supernatural income. Because, you know, if I were to think, when you walk in and you see, and in the mornings, hardly anyone's there because people are working. And so you're thinking, but God did some amazing things. I won't get into all that. But I'm saying, though, we just did it by faith. We just said, we feel like we're supposed to do this. We prayed. It seemed right. So we did it. And God met us. And that's what I'm saying here is like the vision that comes to you that seems so great and so grand and so big, that's beyond your imagination. It's beyond your imagination. The word says that he'll do things above and beyond what you could ask or think. You know, there's some areas in our life God said, he spoke specifically to me and he said, take the lid off. Well, what does that mean exactly? Take the lid off means beyond what you can even attain on your own. So, I've taken too long with that part. So, vision. So, excuses do not cancel vision. They do delay obedience. So, look at Moses. He said, I can't do it. I can't. I stutter. Guess what God did? He said, oh, I'll give you somebody that can speak for you. He provided. He made the excuse. God provided the need. Then he said, what about the people? The people aren't going to listen to me. God provided that too. They listened. What abouts? All the whatabouts. And God provided every way, every which way, as Moses just obeyed. So bottom line, it's about obeying. It's about obeying him. God responds to obedience, not explanation. Now let me explain this. I'll explain my explanation point. How many have kids, and when you tell them to do something, they want to stop and give you an explanation why they can't? I'm really dealing with that right now with a 13-year-old that I know. And I'm just like, I don't need to explain it. Do what I'm telling you to do. It's not hard. Or it's a simple thing that's a simple remedy that you, if you just take a moment and assess the situation, you could figure it out on your own. But because there's such resistance and there's such I don't want to, and there's such blame thing, like you want to, he wants to blame everybody else around because of why he can't obey, it's an issue. But how often do we do that with God? It's like there's vision, there's a plan, there's something he's wanting us to do, and we're saying, wait a minute, I can't do that because we're going to blame it on somebody else or blame it on our circumstances or blame it on the lack of money or the blame it on the, it's a blame game. And I've talked about this before when I've taught, because I see it so often. It's what keeps, it's what keeps people back. Blame and excuses. As a pastor, I'm just like, come on. Do you see what I see? I know you can do it. I know you can if you just do it. If you just get up and do it. Stop putting the blame and excuses on your lips, because the power of death and life are in the tongue. Life and death are in the tongue. Those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. So what's coming out of your mouth? You're making, you're creating this whole world. What you're living in now is what you were speaking yesterday. And so you got to start speaking words of life. And your words are containers. And you're going to produce either an easy life or you're going to produce a hard life. Why not let it be easy? Jesus came so we can have an abundant life. Are we living an abundant life? If we're not living in an abundant life, then we need to backtrack and think about some of the things that maybe we need to make adjustments in. And this all goes back to my whole word that the Lord gave me at the beginning of the year. There's an alignment for the assignment. There's an alignment. What needs to be aligned in your life for the assignment that God's given you? And usually it's discipline, which I believe Miss Jamie spoke on at the ladies, and so our lack thereof, and obedience. And unforgiveness. I won't add too many ands. But once we get past the forgiveness thing, then we got to get the discipline thing. Then we got to move forward, right? We got to do what God says to do every day. Every day, every day. Here's the intentional living. Every day there's something for us to do towards the plan of God for our lives. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we planning? It's like John Maxwell. He carries a little pad in his shirt, and he writes every day. Christmas, Thanksgiving, he writes something every day. Do you all? God is speaking to you every day. Are you hearing him? The more you listen for his voice, the more you write it down, write that vision down because it's important enough to write down, the more you'll hear him. If we're listening, I saw this little kid come out. It was a thing I saw on social media. This kid came out of I think it was children's class, and he came out with these big floppy ears. They were like made out of paper. And it said on the top, "I'm listening for God's voice." I thought it was so cute. I was like, that's the way we need to be, just floppy ears. We're listening for God's voice. Amen. Okay, so Habakkuk 2:2-3. I spent too much time on that. And the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets," that's writing it down, "that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end for fulfillment. It will not deceive and it will not disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day." I'm here to say this is the appointed day. No more waiting. No, so I've heard people say it for all my life. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, guess what? There's faith, believing in God, and faith is an act. It's an action. We've got to put our faith in action towards what we're believing God for. Amen? Okay, I'm going to skip on down. Proverbs 16:19. This is Amplified Classic. It says, "A man's mind plans his way." And this is why I was saying it's not just an idea that you get. It's not just an ambition or something that is just, it has to come from God. So you can make a plan, but the Lord will direct your steps and makes them sure. But guess what? It doesn't hurt to start making a plan. Because guess what that is? That's faith. It's moving towards something. And when you move towards something, it's kind of like a car that isn't working. I don't think I've ever had this happen, but like you can, if it's not working, you can push it, right? And you can jump it or something. And then it'll get going. What's it called? Pop clutch. Let's pop clutch our lives, y'all. Let's move the car. Pop the clutch. Let's get some movement. Amen. Let's get some movement on some things. Pray and ask the Lord, where do I need a pop clutch in my life? What? Pop the clutch, whatever it is. Pop the clutch. Okay, so true vision is received. When God authors the vision, he assumes responsibility for his fulfillment. Isn't that wonderful? He gives us the fulfillment. So the I for vision is instruction and direction. It always accompanies vision. You can't have vision without instruction. I love how Haley will do with the grandbabies when she needs to give them instruction. She'll take their faces and she'll put her hands around and she'll say, "Look into my eyes." That's Grandma Ginger, yes. She got that from my mother-in-law. "Look into my eyes because I want to give you some instruction. I want to give you some direction." Sometimes we need our eyes directed in his face. And he's saying, "Look into my eyes. I want to, are your ears flopping out? Are your eyes looking at me? Because I want to give you some direction. I want to give you some vision for this year." But are your eyes on everything else? Where are your eyes? Where are your ears? What are you listening to, right? Okay, so Isaiah 30:21, Amplified says, "And your ears will hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk ye in it,' and when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." Psalm 32:8 says, "The Lord will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Don't you love that? He will give us counsel and instruction if we're listening. So I looked at this word. It means the word teach. This is right out of the Strong's. The word teach is the word yara, Y-A-R-A-H, and it means to instruct, direct, teach, to point. He will point you which direction you need to go. Kind of like with the kids. I'm sorry, I'm going to call you kids. You're my kids. God pointed them. Go back. Go here. Reasons, maybe not known completely yet. Shoot. He will shoot you towards something. Aim. Throw. Cast in a straight manner. The primary meaning of yara is to shoot straight or to direct the flow of something. Hence, a derivative of yara is Yore, which means rain. I don't completely understand that, but he's pouring out his rain, his instruction, his counsel on us. But the most important Bible word derived from yara is Torah, which I thought was interesting because it refers to the law, but Torah is often translated and it means instruction. So they were given the Torah for instruction or teaching. And so it says here in this scripture, I, the Lord, will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. So he will give us instruction and direction. So the eye in vision is instruction, direction. God never shows a destination without providing direction. Vision without instruction leads to confusion. So we have to have instruction so we are not in a place. And confusion is a place where the enemy can wreak havoc. He can have his way. And confusion is not of God, right? Okay, so God-sized vision requires God-sized dependence. We completely depend and rely on him for his direction and guidance. Vision aligned with obedience today will impact your tomorrow. So if you will align your vision with obedience today, it will impact your vision tomorrow. Vision without instruction creates inspiration, not transformation. Let me give you that again. Vision without instruction. So if you got a vision, but you don't have instruction on how to complete it, how to fulfill it, you can be inspired by it, but it's not going to bring any transformation because you can't complete it. It's just going to be a lot of confusion. There's not going to be direction. Does that make sense? Are y'all getting this? Okay. Am I giving you too much? Vision defines the destination, but instruction defines the path. So sometimes we can get vision about something, but it's kind of like with Haley and Luke moving here, not to use you guys too much in this example, but the vision was defined for the destination, but now the path, why they're here, the whys, the wheres, the what's God going to do, all of that is needing to be defined, and it's coming from instruction from the Lord, and it's coming from their obedience. You know, they probably don't know. I haven't really had a chance to sit down and talk to them yet, but let's do it now. Okay, so do you guys know exactly why you're here? Some ideas, job things, family things. But ultimately, there's probably a big picture that we've yet to see. I think there's vision, and the instruction is coming. It's coming your way as you're walking it out, of course. So Noah received detailed instructions for the ark. How many, y'all know the story about Noah? And if you read, I'm not going to go into it, but you remember God gave him detailed instruction on how to put that ark together. I find that completely amazing. He had to go out and he couldn't go down to Lowe's and just load up my truck with all the wood that I need. He had to cut the trees down, put everything together. I mean, literally. And y'all know how old he was? I read this today. Do you remember how old he was when the flood came? 600 years old. So never say you're too old to complete the plan of God, because he was willing to follow the vision and do what God had called him to do. Okay, so the S in vision is sacrifice. And I know that's a big yuck word. Nobody likes to talk about sacrifice, but sacrifice is required to protect vision. Hebrews 12:1 says, vision demands letting go of comfort, familiarity, and misplaced loyalties. It doesn't say that. Abraham left Ur to follow God's promise. The blessing was attached to separation. Let's look at Hebrews 12:1. I thought I had it in there, but I guess I missed it. So it says, this is out of the Message. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down and start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your soul. Sometimes we think we've got it so hard until we start realizing how much other people are going through some things. There are a lot of folks that are going through a lot of sacrifice right now, a lot of persecution, things that aren't even touching our world right now, you know, and we should be so very grateful. But, you know, there might be some things that we have to give up. You know, we're in our fasting and prayer time. The least thing we're doing right now is giving up on some food, and maybe not all of it, but here and there, I know my husband's doing some things, but who knows what y'all are doing? But that's in our eyes as a sacrifice. We're doing it as unto him because we want to hear him clearer. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but food has a voice in my life. Just food, and it can be a loud voice, and specifically sweets. Sweets? What would you like to testify, brother? Jamie's like, wow, it's loud. It's loud, but it's a sacrifice, right? But if the vision costs nothing, it's likely worth nothing, right? So it's got to be something that we're moving towards. Vision exposes what you're willing to release for what God intends to reveal. It exposes what you're willing to release for what God intends to reveal. The depth of the vision is sometimes revealed by the depth of sacrifice. You know, look at Jesus, what he did. He did not pursue comfort. He didn't pursue a reputation or self-preservation. He lived in complete alignment with the assignment, with a divine vision, the redemption of humanity. And he embraced surrender as the required path to fulfillment. And so he's our best example. John 18:37, for this reason, he said, I was born. And for this reason, I came into the world. He knew what his purpose was. Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know what the plan of God is for your life? And that should not bring us condemnation. That should bring us some inspiration to find out what it is that God has for us. What is this path? And how can I fulfill it? Because, you know, y'all know we've had, you know, folks pass away this last year. And it starts to kind of, you start to look at that and think, wait. How quick life goes by, and how wonderfully they fulfilled, intentionally they lived their lives out and affected so many folks, so many people for the sake of the kingdom. And so how can I run my race like that, where I'm intentionally living unto him and being an example of who Christ was and it has been through these family members? And what can I do to make a difference? You know, I think it was Terry Mize, he posted something today about how Christians are all packed up, ready to go home because we know Jesus is coming. But how many folks are not ready to go see Jesus? How many folks are not going to go? And, you know, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. But we forget those things. We kind of get into our worlds and our kids and our money and our stuff. And we start, you know, we just kind of get, you know, our vision is just one way. We need to ask the Lord to help us be worldwide minded. You know, we may not be able to go into the world, but we can sure touch the world with our prayers. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. And it's dynamic in its workings. And so there can be an effect on this world through my prayers. Amen? And there might be somebody, you know, daily, ask the Holy Spirit, who is it I need to pray for today? You know, I was telling, who did I tell this story when I came home on the plane? Did I tell you all this? Mike, the guy that talked for 2.5 hours to me. Mike, if you're watching, hi. But I don't think he's watching. But I was just so taken back by the man who was so willing to talk on radio, probably endlessly, not knowing who was listening to him. Vernon McGee. Wow, he's reaping some rewards because this man is out to change some folks in his family because they have not been affected by, you know, the Lord. They've had a different world. It's amazing to me, though, because these people are very wealthy, wealthy, wealthy people. He was telling me kind of his background, but yet untouched by redemption because no one had told them until this man is now turned around because of Vernon McGee. And so prayerfully, things will change in their family's life. Praise God. So vision does not remove the cost. It explains it. Jesus said, Luke 22:42, it's not my will, but yours be done. So the next I is integrity. Integrity sustains vision over time. Proverbs 11:2-3. When swelling and pride come, then emptiness and shame come also. But with the humble, those who are lowly, who have been pruned and chiseled by trial and renounce self are skillful in godly wisdom and soundness. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the willful contrariness and crookedness of the treacherous shall destroy them. So what are we talking about? We're talking about having integrity. Anyone can declare vision, but only integrity can carry it consistently. What kind of integrity do you have? Vision opens doors, but integrity keeps them open. So what kind of character do you have? What are you living by? Vision is constantly pressured by convenience, by fear, by fatigue, by opportunities that are without alignment. Ask me how I know. 20 years of ministry in these last, you know, and you think, wow, you know, there's a vision. I've got a vision, but these things I just mentioned, it's not super convenient sometimes for me. There's fear. There's things that come. What are we going to do if? What if so-and-so leaves? What if this doesn't work out? What if the finances aren't there? What if people get offended? What if? All the what ifs, those fears. Of course, we're looking away from those to Jesus, the author and the finisher. But it's a learned process, you understand. It's not something that came easily. It had to be something that we matured and grew in. And of course, once in a while, there's a little dab of, you know, growth that is needed. But, you know, fatigue, we can all get into a place of tiredness where we want our comfort more than our calling. And God's more concerned about your phone calls than he is, no, your calling. He's more concerned about that, not that calling, but his calling than your comfort. Amen. And opportunities that are not in the alignment of God's plan for your life. And those things will divert you and get you off track as quick as the enemy will try to. So integrity acts as a filter, not allowing shortcuts that work against the purpose. Sometimes the enemy will bring shortcuts and you think, ooh, this will be nice and easy. Let's do this. But it will work against the vision. We have to stay the course. Vision is public. Integrity is private. What you're doing at home, how you're treating your spouse, how you're acting around your kids, what you're saying, you know, to people when you're mad, what you're saying in the car when people are cutting you off, all the things, that's integrity. Psalm 25:21 says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for and expect you. Integrity protects vision under pressure. Character determines whether vision survives success or delay. Joseph is a great example of this. Joseph's integrity in private positioned him for promotion in public. I love Joseph's story, and the next part will go into Joseph, but the next one is O, which is opposition. Confirms the value of vision. Opposition confirms the value of vision. How many of you ever had opposition in your life? Probably every one of us could put our hands up, maybe two hands, maybe three, I don't know. But remember Joseph, he encountered and sustained opposition at multiple stages of his life, yet none of it altered the vision God placed within him. What changed were his circumstances, not his convictions. We cannot allow our circumstances to change our convictions. What can we learn from this? How can we grow from this? How can we be better about this? How can we step on this stumbling block, as my husband would say, and make it a stepping stone for what's next? Don't let it push you back. Let it push you forward. What's next? He went through family rejection. I'm not going to read it all. Y'all know it. He went through false accusation, injustice, and forgetting. They forgot about him. He was imprisoned. There was a prolonged delay for the dreams and the fulfillment. But Joseph allowed the time to mature him, not embitter him. So 2 Timothy 3:12, this is the passion. It says, for all who choose to live passionately and faithfully as worshipers of Jesus, the Anointed One, will also experience persecution. And, of course, every one of us understand that. And the last one is N, now faith is required to walk it out. Of course, we know the scripture, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance. It's the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. In other words, we're not being moved by what we see, what we feel, what we hear. We're only being moved by what the Word of God says. Amen. So we find out what it says, And we live by that. James 2:17, this is passion. So then faith that doesn't involve action. I love how this says this. If you're not acting on your faith, it's phony. But someone might object and say, one person has faith and another person has works. Go ahead then and prove to me that you have faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works as proof that I believe. You can believe all you want that there is one true God. That's wonderful. But even the demons know this, and they tremble with fear before him. Yet they're unchanged. They remain demons. They believe in the name, but they don't act on what they believe. So they remain the same. So unless we're acting on our faith, unless there's motion involved, the slightest, least little bit of motion, moving towards something, that is faith in action. Faith is a verb. It's an action word. James 22. Can't you see how this, his action cooperated with his faith? And by his action, faith found, I love this, faith found its full expression. By his action, his faith found its full expression. So there's a scripture, a translation in the Strong's. It talks about working together with your faith. It talks about working with God. And it comes from the word synergist in the Strong's. It says to cooperate or to help or to collaborate. So there is a practical harmony or a synergism. Am I saying that right? Synergism. Between vertical faith in God and horizontal works to a needy world. Faith is both spiritual and practical. So we believe God, but then we have to act on what we believe. So when he gives us vision for something, we start moving towards it. And vision, it can live in our future, but by obedience, it can happen now. And so excuses will delay our obedience, and it will suffocate our vision. How many believe that? Moses, I talked about Moses. Excuses do not cancel vision. They do delay obedience. God responds to obedience, not explanation. This statement does not suggest that God is uninterested in our questions or our struggles. He is interested in those things. But it emphasizes a consistent biblical pattern that God moves in response to surrendered action, not negotiation, not trying to understand things, but by obedience, by action. Does that make sense? Amen. So I want to mention here this a little tag here on the blame and excuses thing. Blame, what it tries to do is it protects your comfort where you've been. It'll keep you in a comfort place because you think you have a valid reason why you've been where you've been. And it'll cause you to be in a place where you start looking around at not just your situation to blame, but then you start blaming people. And that's a dangerous place to be because obedience requires change. Every one of us need to be saying, God, change me. How do I need to change? And he gives us the answer. Romans 12, 1 and 2, he gives us the place where we can go to the exchange place. And by the transforming of our mind, the transformation of our mind, there's that renewal, a renewing of what we believe. And what happens is we're becoming enlightened by the word with who we are in Christ. It's not that we're having to make this huge change. Our spirit man is new. We're alive unto God. But this thing here has to have a renewal every day because it's going with the way the world is. And we need to know who we are in Christ. So when we find out more of who he is, we find out everything he is. That's who we are. Amen. I love a story I heard. I think it was, who was it, said this? Oh, I think it was Pastor Nancy. She said she was before the Lord about something she was upset about, she had done, feeling bad, feeling under condemnation. Let me just tell you, the enemy will use condemnation to keep you from the plan of God for your life. Condemnation, self-degradation, and some of that false humility. Let me just say, it's false humility. Feeling like you need to put yourself down all the time. That's not God. That's not how he created us to be. We're supposed to be in this place where we're overcomers, more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But we say that, but is he really greater when I'm feeling bad about myself and I'm not perfect and practically perfect in every way? And I'm missing it all the time, and I'm hard on myself, and I'm mad because nothing's working out because I just can't attain this level of perfectionism. That's not what we're supposed to live in. So back to my story, she was feeling bad. She was saying to the Lord, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I just feel so bad. I just, you know, and he goes, yep, you missed it again in this area. And he said, but look at Jesus. He didn't miss anything. He won. And he said, because I'm not saying it exactly how she said it, but because he won, you win. You have his victory in him. You don't have defeat anymore. We have only victories because of who we are in him. So we let go of the condemnation. We let go of the insecurities. Those insecurities will hold you back more than anything. Let go of those things and find out who you are in Christ, because the security of who you are in him is what's going to catapult you forward into your future, your vision, what God has for your life. And there's more to be had. And if you're not experiencing the more, then I would beckon you to get into the presence of God and find out who you are in Christ. Amen? So let me get this real quick and then we'll close. Are you good? Vision is fulfilled by those who own the assignment, not those who explain it. Wow. I love that. And that's one of the things that, you know, Pastor Steve always says with people that come in here. He said, if you find something that needs to change, own it and help us with it. Don't be telling us what we, you know, we're doing wrong. We already know we need help. That's why you're here. We're a body. We're equipping each other. We're helping each other. And so that's a part of what that is owning the assignment, not trying to explain it out. The cost of blame and excuses is spiritual stagnation, missed opportunities, and lost influence. Vision is not lost because of hardship. It's lost because of responsibility is refused. So let's take responsibility for what God's given us. Let's own up to it. Let's take hold of what he's given us to do. Let's not use any more excuses. Let's not blame it on our past or how we were raised or what we don't have enough of, or I'm going to be better someday. No. I'm everything I need to be in Christ. Obedience honors God, and responsibility fulfills vision. So let's own up to it. Let's be responsible for what he has. I'm excited, and, you know, I can't even get into more things because I know Pastor Steve has some other things that he's wanting to talk about, but let me say this too real quick. I have this other little thing here at the bottom. Explaining yourself, explanation about the whys, about the blaming excuses, is actually a control thing. You're trying to control your situation to stay the same. God's calling you out of that place. He wants you to change. He wants to bring you up. Obedience releases, and it trusts God. God is not persuaded by logic, reasoning, or self-justification. He's honored by trust expressed through action. So, I'm ready to act. Are you ready to act? Let's act on the word. Let's act on what we know. Let's act on his will and his plan for our lives. I don't want to get up there and him say, well, you're done. We want him to say, well done, thou faithful servant. Amen. I'm so thankful that he's a loving father, and he gives us opportunities over and over again. He doesn't expect perfection. He just expects us to come to him with all that we are and surrender and come knowing that through him, because of Christ, we can do all things, that we're more than conquerors. So I believe we're going to have a wonderful year. I'm excited about it. Are y'all excited about this year? It's going to be so good. Yes, indeed. It won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other, you won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountain and hills. I'll make everything right again for my people. I love that.